This we may say with all our heart. Your truth is marching on. It is so nice that we really don't have any own doctrine nor any own knowledge, but that we may preach the word as it is written. as God left it to us, and as he revealed it to us by his grace, just before the return of Jesus Christ, he revealed it in its true meaning, in the true harmony of the Old and New Testament. Thereby we recognize that God has turned his countenance toward us. When God speaks with us, and when we truly understood that it is him who speaks with us, if we received it, that it was not Paul, not Peter, not an apostle, not a prophet who had something to say to us, but the Lord himself, who speaks through his word, who only used the mouth of his servants and prophets to speak to us. And the same applies up to this time. Also, Brother Branham had no extra message, but the promised and revealed word for this time. And so, we are very, very grateful to the Lord that we may have part in that what he promised. And of course, having part in what he is doing. What good would all the promises of God be, which are yes and amen, if they would bypass us left, right, and center, and if we would have no direct part in their fulfillment? I was thinking here on the event of the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And I want to say something here, that there are most certainly some amongst us who are waiting for many years for special blessings. How many know how old this man was? How long he was waiting? He was waiting 38 years. And every time the angel came down and stirred up the water, then he wanted to get in, but he could not. He was paralyzed. Every time someone else was before him in the water and was healed. And then came the day. That was his day. And the man said, the Lord spoke the word. And the man said, I have no one who carries me into the water. And the Lord said, you don't need anyone anymore. I'm here. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Brothers and sisters, regardless how long we are waiting, in this year, it's 40 years since Brother Branham went home. He was waiting for it, that the return of the Lord takes place. Paul was waiting for it, that it takes place. Martin Luther said in his last year, in 1543, he said, as the 3 days and nights with our Lord were not fulfilled, so also the 2,000 years will not get full. And we can count on the return of the Lord. All, really all, who ever lived and who have experienced the grace of God in their time, they were counting on it. But now it is so far. We may lift up our heads sober and clear, based upon God's word, knowing that our redemption is drawing near. Feel free and be open for the word of the Lord. Also today, I would like to welcome all of you from the left to the right, from all peoples, tongues and nations. Greetings we received from Brother John from Bucharest, from brethren from the Ukraine, from Belarus, from Moldavia. Special greetings from all these brethren which have received and accepted the message and who are carrying it on. 5 phone calls came in this morning from the USA. People are hearing, people are watching, and they said, yesterday we were listening, we are watching, and we have been blessed everywhere. And may God really grant grace that worldwide, especially in the 2 main languages, English and German, that all can hear, and then passing on, carrying on. It is the divine message. It may not be put again under the bushel or falling under the table. It must be put onto the table of the house of God, and the proclamation must just take place, and all the world must be reached. Then a brother wrote me a kind letter. He laid it before my door, and he is apologizing that he listened to the slanders about me. And he's asking for forgiveness that he not only listened to it, but that he also spoke out things which were not good. We just receive it and accept it. And I would like to say to our brother and to all of you, I want to say, we are going through trials, and especially all servants of God are going through trials. And there will be not one who could claim to be infallible, but every servant of God will have to say, not only may say, but he must say, that the word coming from his mouth is God's original word. And this word will not return void. It must, and it will accomplish for what it was sent for. Then we have, as already said, greetings. Brother Wallström is greeting you. The brethren from South Africa are greeting, from the Congo, from all over. Then special greetings to our brothers and sisters in Chile and in Peru and wherever they are listening now, and also in other parts of the world. To the Almighty God be the thanks that we are living in the time in which Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. We will just now pray again, but let me read you something from the sermon, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. Here, Brother Branham says, the opening of the 7 seals was announced by God there on the mountain. God, let me die right now in this pulpit if that ain't the truth. And I foretold you a year and 6 months before it happened, when he told me to go to Arizona, what would happen out there in the desert. And there's men sitting right here tonight, was standing right there and present when the 7 angels came down, and even the magazines, the Life magazine, packed the article of it, and so forth. And then God had to open up those seven seals, but not in a denomination. I've always been against it. But out of the denominations, he takes himself a bride, but not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He opened those seven mysteries and brought forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. We could read on and on. We believe with all our hearts that God not only was, that God is, and that He is the same. When He spoke to Moses, He was not the I was, but the I am who I am. And this is my name, said the Lord God, forever. So, God being present, being at work through the Holy Spirit, according to the word of the hour, according to the promises which God has given. Now, we ask our brother Gilbert to come today to the front and to pray with us. Maybe the two sisters have then also a song. Come then also, and then we will go into the Word. Because this is the main thing. We're not coming together here to just listen to songs. We are coming to hear the Word of God, which remains forever. Please, Brother Gilbert, come now. Pray today with us.
Jesus Christus, gläubig steh ich auf dem Worte meines Heilands, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Dankeschön. Ja, Dankeschön.
Thank you. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, standing on the promises of God, has really become the most important part in our lives. And we spoke many times about it. Just the adding of one single word at the beginning, in paradise, and this adding of one single word, the word not, caused that the first human beings came under the direct influence of the enemy. And then they have lost the orientation which was given by the Word. And they opened themselves up to the influence of the enemy, separated from God, thrown into death. We just read it now in Philippians, that our Lord, who being in the form of God, a very important statement, the visible form of appearance of the invisible God. He laid off everything. He became man. He became like us to pay the price for our redemption through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Before we go into the Word, let me read you a bit from Revelation chapter 5. It's in connection with the opening of the seven seals. Revelation chapter 5 from verse 6. Revelation 5, from verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Here we have the redeemed flock before our eyes, which is shown in connection with the opening of the sealed book, from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Has the Lord God not said already to Abraham at his calling in Genesis chapter 12? In verse 3, he said, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Galatians chapter 3, here the apostle lines out in what kind of way the blessing of God has come upon the nations. Galatians chapter 3, from verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." There is a connection from the Old to the New Testament, a connection which shows the announcement of the plan of salvation and the realization of this plan. And so we see that already all the prophets and men of God in the Old Testament predicted of what would take place. Here The faith is emphasized in a special way. What kind of faith? The faith, the belief, as the scripture says. Because that's how it is written here. In verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing. And the scripture is God's holy word. And God made through all of these announcements, and we, out from all peoples, tongues, and nations, we, at the end of the time of grace, we may experience in what kind of way we, as Abraham then, are now being blessed. Abraham received the promise that a son would be born unto him. You all know Sarah was very old, and Abraham was also old. She was 90, he was 100. And then this is quite a small problem. But with God, there's no problem. Neither a little one nor a big one. When God gives a promise, then only unbelief is our problem. Only unbelief is then our problem. Because God, who gave the promise, has taken the responsibility for its fulfillment. So, let us leave it in the hands of God, who up to now failed in nothing. Everything he does is perfect. He makes all things well. He finished his creation work, and he will finish his redemption work by grace. We have spoken about the calling out of the church. And we will also continue with the build-up, namely that the church truly is built upon the one and only holy foundation, which was laid by the apostles and prophets. And this foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord Himself. As lined out in Ephesians chapter 2, especially in verse 20 and 21, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Can we say today, as Paul then, in the epistle to the Corinthians, I have laid the foundation, and another foundation cannot be laid except that which was laid, and this is Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we speak about the basic doctrines of the Word, then of course not because we feel like doing it. We of course don't want to hurt any man when we bring to a collapse all the doctrines which are not in agreement with the Holy Scripture. When we touch the foundation of these doctrines and we shake a bit on their pillars, then we have a divine commission to do it. Namely, to bring everything to a collapse. What was not built upon the foundation, not built upon the pillar of truth, it just belongs to it. Before something new can be built, that what was not done and built according to the word, it must be demolished. And that's what God said. When he commissioned the prophet Jeremiah, he should first tear down, and then the build-up would follow. First, really, that which is not right, it must be demolished. It may not be decorated. It may not be touched with kid gloves, but in all public and in all openness, it must be exposed. And this we are really not doing because we feel like doing it. This we are doing because God has the right to bring the church back to its beginning. But only his church, not some kind of church, but his church, of which he himself said, and he means it even today, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. They will be against it, yes. And he who goes up to Revelation chapter 12, he will find out that at the moment when the birth pains come upon the church and when the male child will be born, who will then be raptured, then the dragon shall stand before the church, which is called the woman. Because as the woman receives the seed to then give birth, so the church is ordained to receive the divine seed and ordained so that sons and daughters of God are being born of water and spirit, as our Lord said in John chapter 3. Here we have in Ephesians 2, verse 20 and 21, we have the words, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Do we have a right to preach the word of God? Do we have a right to emphasize that our Lord paid the price on the cross of Calvary, giving his own blood and life to cleanse his church and to sanctify her, to separate her from everything what is not in agreement with God and his word, and to by this present himself a bride church without spot and without wrinkle. To this, we must necessarily remember Ephesians 5, verse 26. We cannot bypass it. The washing of water by the word belongs into the connection in which is written that the church will appear without spot or wrinkle before him. Not only the redemption by the blood, the forgiveness of our guilt and sin, the reconciliation with God, and everything what goes with it, but as written clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14, that light and darkness have really nothing in common. And then the man of God says under the inspiration of the Spirit, what accord has Christ with Belial? Of course, no accord at all. And therefore, we are placing ourselves onto the side of Jesus Christ our Lord, because he placed himself onto our side. He became like us so that we can become like him in the resurrection and in the translation. 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. This is not a temple made by hands, with stones, like it takes place here on earth. As already then, in Matthew 24, there the disciples showed our Lord the temple. And then the Lord said, here not one stone will remain upon the other one. And he who likes to know it precisely, he just needs to read in Luke 21. Because before verse 24, there are written some other verses which speak about that God's judgment will come upon his people which missed the day of his visitation. And that's how it happened. And our Lord said it, of course, when you see Jerusalem compassed around with armies, then the believers shall flee to the mountains of Judea. We, for our time, have the orientation in the prophetic word, and to be honest, we have it in the Gospels, we have it in the Epistles, and if we take the word in its fullness, then we have an overall, a complete picture about everything what God predicted, announced, and what he promised. In Ephesians chapter 4, straight from verse 1, we have then the instructions for the build-up of the church. And all who wish to be built up and edified, they must, as written in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 2, they must have the following things, and they must fulfill the following things. Here it's written, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. There's no other way. Brothers and sisters, we are having different mentalities. We are coming from different countries in every way. And if I would ask today of how many countries and cultures we are all coming from, or where we grew up, I don't know whether one would not even end up in Novosibirsk, where one can look already over into China, and then all of Africa, and from all of Europe. But now it is important that we all receive the gifts from God, that we really take off the old nature, putting off the old man, and so that the new man, according to God's righteousness, is being established in us. That we not only sing all things new, all things new, but that it could become like this. And only then, when the inner man was established by God so far, then will also follow the outward. Namely, that we bear one another in love. And then, as written in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This must be your and my desire, that the body of the Lord is by no means harmed or damaged, or that harm is being done to one single member, that we open our mouths for one another, not accepting anything anymore what is being said about somebody else, except we say, "One moment, please. I'm calling this brother. I'm calling this sister now. Tell me in her presence or in his presence what you want to tell me." And then it can happen that you will only see the back part of such a person and not the face anymore, leave alone the person about which was spoken of. We must keep the divine rules. There's no other way. And here it continues, "You are one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." And only then it says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." But in connection with "one Lord, one faith, one baptism" is written the word "one body." Ye all are baptized into one body by one Spirit. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here comes now the touchstone. Here comes the moment where we can really examine ourselves, whether we truly respect the ministries and gifts which God has set into the church. Because it is not enough that we just speak of a prophet whom God used to open the seven seals and to open the book. That means the Lamb has opened the book. The man of God was just present when it happened. And it is not enough unless we recognize that connected with it must really be the calling out. And with the calling out, everything must be brought back into the divine original condition. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all." And now we come to the point, namely to verse 7, to recognize and also to receive by faith that every revelation by every ministry which God gives, the church is edified, moving her on, settling her in the word. Here it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all, for the edification of the church. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Not the man brings wisdom from his own, but here in this word is everything." And then it happens that the Spirit of God can be at work, and that then all these ministries can be done, as written here, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another one the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And then it is being listed and again listed of all of what was in the church at the beginning. And brothers and sisters, we cannot be satisfied that we say, yes, what is written in Acts 3, in verse 21, this we believe, namely, that our Lord and Savior must remain in heaven until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. If this doesn't become true with us, if it doesn't find fulfillment, if we have no part in it, that it really takes place. And may it take place slowly, but may it take place by the power of God. And here's the point. All who really belong as members to the body of Jesus Christ, they will recognize the ministries, the callings, the gifts and the tasks which God gave for the edification of the church. It will never come into their thoughts, oh, yeah, these three brothers there in the front, and so forth. No, it's not about three brothers in the front. It is about the one true God who revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. And it is about the one church which was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the firstborn, which the Lord wants to prepare so that they can have part in the rapture. Listen also now from this chapter, verse 24 and 25, maybe also 27. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but this is not a part which I want to read, but God has composed the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And why? That there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Did you read this? Be honest. Did we care for one another up to now? Did we ever think of, is a brother in need, is a sister in need, those in need, did it ever come into their minds that we have brothers and sisters who can also help us in our trials? Or are we all experiencing that, what Job experienced, that the friends are coming and suspecting him to have done this or that wrong? Brothers and sisters, the moment of the inner building up of the church has come. God wants to do a mighty work in us by His grace, in the blood-bought flock, the new divine life in a new heart, which was laid back to the faith of the fathers, back to the beginning, which is not erring around in unbelief. But as Abraham believed, so we also believe. And as Abraham went into the land of promise, go and leave thy father's house and get thee out of thy father's country from Ur in Chaldea on the other side of the river Euphrates. Go into the land which I will show thee. This is the point. We have heard the call, and with the call, the blessing, and with the blessing, the promise was connected. And therefore, children of promise, word of promise, spirit of promise. And the Spirit leads the children of promise into all the truth and connects us directly with God. That no one stands between, but having a direct connection to God. Dear brothers and sisters, do I have this direct connection to God? Do we know in whom we believe and what we believe? Do we have the assurance of faith in our hearts that if, for instance, others would ask us, or even would say, "Oh, what you believe there, this is so and so." Yes. Are you settled in your faith? As Paul writes, so that our hearts is established, really being settled, established, so that nothing can be moved anymore, and that every storm which comes our way could only contribute that the roots get loosened a bit and that they then can grow deeper and deeper. This must just be this way. There's no other way. And Paul writes also that we should not be children any longer, but that we come unto perfection. That's how it is written in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm asking myself, how much time does God still intend to give us? No one knows the direct end. No one knows day or hour. But this we can say with all certainty that we are now living at the end of the end time. Let us look up briefly Matthew 24, just to see what kind of manifoldness is in the predictions. And then to emphasize of what should be really important for us. And I say it is important. In Matthew 24, from verse 1, it's written already what our Lord said then and what he answered when he sat down and as he was teaching the disciples. Here we have it in verse 3 and 4 about the return of the Lord, about the sign of his coming and the sign of the end of the age. Everything is written here, but the direct admonition is in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." The deception in the end time is therefore so bad, as we are told in verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Just imagine. Think of the following. Mark 16:16, it's written, and the Lord was with them and confirmed his word with signs and wonders following. Now, in the end time, right before the return of Jesus Christ, prophets come on the scene, and they are false prophets. True prophets have never taken the words Trinity or Triunity into their mouths. All the charismatics, and I could mention this man by name whom I have seen on TV in Manila. I could mention him when he took off his jacket and swinging it before the audience, and he said, "Thus the Holy Spirit is moving." And then he made the suggestion to the people that every morning they should say, "Good morning, Father, good morning, Son, good morning, Holy Spirit." I've seen quite a number of things. I experienced quite a few things. And then great signs and wonders. And why? To deceive the elect. But the elect are not following signs and wonders. They are following the Lord. And the signs follow them. The signs follow them. Because they believe God's word. Therefore, God confirms his word. But signs and wonders do impress people. And as one hears many times, what is being filmed on the platform is a totally different thing from that what is going on 2 hours later in reality. We of course also had a look behind the curtain. But here, we were really told to what we have to pay attention. Not on the signs and wonders, but thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And then we must say, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 22 to 25, and this is the word which we by the gospel preached unto you. Please forgive me when we mention briefly now again these two subjects. The dividing of God into three eternal ones, into three almighty ones, is such a blasphemy as it doesn't exist a second time on earth. And if we want to go one step further and then think of that Tertullian, a man from Tunisia, a lawyer from Tunisia, comes to Rome bringing his idea that God can exist in three persons. And at the end, he was also formed like that. Whether one sees three persons next to each other, or whether one person with three heads, we have it in one of our books where all these shapes and likenesses are shown. God the Almighty didn't, of course, need to divide himself up into three almighty ones. One almighty is enough from eternity to eternity. It is about our adoption as sons and daughters of God into our original position as sons and daughters of God. And therefore, our Lord was born as Son, so that we, through Him, the Son of God, might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians 4, verse 4. But the plan of salvation was lost. It went under. All these men, and we're not judging here. We don't judge. We check and orientate ourselves only by the Holy Scripture. All these men, at the end of the 3rd and the 4th centuries and onward, they of course had no calling. They didn't know God. They rejected the Old Testament. They were cursing the Jews. There's no church father. You can read it. Deschner wrote about every church father. He wrote a little note how these gentlemen were cursing the Jews. And that only in the Second Vatican Council, 1963, Pope John the 23rd, he said with heartbreaking words, he said, "Take finally this curse out of the Good Friday Mass, where the Jews are being cursed. Take it finally out." Yes, and up to then, the Jews were the murderers of God, the murderers of Christ, who were cursed by the church people. And therefore, the persecution of the Jews up to the killing of the 6 million Jews in the Second World War, it all goes back to one beginning. There's always, for one thing, only one fountain. And the one fountain may flow then into many rivers, but it all goes back to one fountain. Old Testament rejected, Jews rejected, and then the Godhead formulated. And then it is really written as the Roman Baptism Creed, namely the Triune Baptism. And it was not there in the beginning. And you can read up church history from Rupert Schmidt, from Herzog. You can read one church history book after the other one. And all are confirming that in the first centuries, after the apostles, there was still baptized biblically in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and then came the change. Who did it? Has God changed the direction? Has God changed the doctrine? No, and again no. Meddlers have interfered and have established a church, a state church with worldly power, and then have forced everyone to come under the rulership of this religion. What hurts me most, I must say it honestly, what hurts me is when in all of Protestantism is being said that all who confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that they are justified before God. And they go even one step further and they say, the Antichrist cannot come from Christianity because all of Christianity confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. And then it can happen that one's top begins to blow because the people are not going back to the Word. They refer to a scripture which they didn't even read, which is not written the way they think it to be written. I read it to you from 1 John. From 1 John, here we have the overall view, how God placed everything in His Word. 1 John, the verse which the gentlemen are referring to is 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And now comes the description. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. To this verse they refer. And I noted down some scriptures in my second manuscript. I've noted them down here. In which demon-possessed people freely and openly confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Here we have it. I read it. A lip confession about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This also had the possessed people, as the following scripture declare. Matthew 8, verse 29. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Second scripture, Mark 5, verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? All possessed people. And then, in Luke 8, verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God of the Most High? Were the possessed of God? They were possessed. It's just about that we must read up. And in this connection, belongs that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And with this, one must go back to Psalm 22, verse 10. Thou hast laid me into the mother's bosom. And with this, one must go to 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. I will be father to him, and he shall be son unto me. And with this, we must go to Psalm 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And with this, we must go to Matthew 1, and to Luke 1, and to Luke 2, to see how the virgin was saluted, how the Holy Ghost came upon her, and how the Son of God was born. We believe in that Son of God, in Jesus Yahshua, that Yahweh Savior, that he came to us as the Yahshua, and that he is the anointed one. A lip confession, you are the Son of God, will not help anyone. But here's the point. In the Counter-Reformation, because Martin Luther attacked so much the Antichrist Dom, and again he attacked it. Therefore, in the Counter-Reformation, the doctrine came up, as Jesus was a Jew, so also the Antichrist will be a Jew. And with this, everything was again directed into the wrong direction. And recently, the preachers of the gospel, they switched over and they said, probably it will not be a Jew, but then he must be found in the Islam. because they, in general, are against Christianity. Brothers and sisters, I don't need an argument, and you also don't need an argument. What we need is the word of truth, to know if we confess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one Redeemer who came into the flesh, then this is not a lip confession. I've noted it down here. For the new manuscript, I've noted it down. There are really the three confessions. Actually, a threefold confession of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know them inside out. The one say that he is the first fruit of the creation work of God, based upon what is written in Proverbs 8. And now I'm reading you Proverbs 8 to then ask you whether this can be like that. Proverbs chapter 8, namely, and in verse 22, Proverbs 8, verse 22, the Lord created me as the first fruit of his creation work, as the beginning of his way before his works of old. This is the grounds, this is the scripture unto which they refer who believe that the Son, as the second Son, was created, existing from eternity. Yes. Shall I take you straight to 1 Corinthians 15 to show you in what connection the term first fruit belongs when it refers to Jesus Christ, our Lord? Then of course not the first fruit of the creation work. He of course created all things. How can he be created? But that's how the philosophy goes. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Of course, not the first fruit of the creation work of God, but as the firstborn, as the first fruit who gave his life for the firstborn and first fruits, so that we would get the birthright, receiving the Spirit as the first fruit. But people lost their minds. They interpreted. And just imagine what is written then in verse 30 in Proverbs 8. What is written here of this created Son who does not even exist. Then I was by him as a master craftsman, as his beloved, brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Here one can read more than 20 times in all the chapters that here it speaks about the wisdom and of no one else. Only of wisdom, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it only speaks of wisdom. I, wisdom, am in connection with prudence. Chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter verse 1, does not wisdom cry out? Yes. And then an evil spirit led them astray, and they took up the theory that Christ is our wisdom, and composed a thing together which does not exist. which only was in their imagination. Brothers and sisters, we don't need anything what people who did not know God, to whom God did not reveal himself, we don't need their presentations. I've said it many times. To us, God does not speak by someone from Tunisia or from North Africa or South Africa or Europe or North or South Europe. To us, God speaks through his holy and precious everlasting word. And so, the second confession is that the people say that the archangel Michael from the Old Testament is Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And they are seeking scriptures to justify what they believe. No. Of the archangel Michael is still written in Jude. Of the archangel Michael is still written in Revelation 12 that he will fight with the dragon. The Lord will not fight anymore. The Lord fought once. He won the victory once for all. And when he takes his own to glory, then Michael will get hold of the dragon and will throw him down to the earth. And then is fulfilled, he is cast down. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. And the third ones are saying, of course, that God by himself created the second person. And then the ones are saying that the same God created then the next person, and the others believe that God the Father and God the Son spoke the Spirit into existence. No, these are all blasphemous statements. And of these, we must separate ourselves. Separating ourselves out of biblical conviction. Whoever still thinks, and listen closely, whoever thinks to still find something to be right in the false will never get the right revealed. Can you say amen to that? It was very weak. It was very weak. It must be said once again, whoever tries to find something right in the false creed, to him the true faith can never be fully revealed. It's impossible. Only if we agree with God, if we agree with his word, only then comes revelation, which is given to us by grace. Brothers and sisters, we have also a baptism today. And now, a word on to all who want to be baptized. I don't make a secret out of it. I was baptized 1948 into the Trinity in the town of Celle in Harburg Street. In a small chapel. The preacher was Richard Creech. But when the message came, and when God could speak to me, and when I just received with all my heart that the biblical baptism shall and must take place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I asked Brother Horst Kretschmer that he should go with me. We were a few brothers, and we went to the Rhine River. And this brother, whom I already baptized biblically, he then baptized me biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a long time with the Lord. I'm still here to bear witness, to give a true testimony of that what was left to us in the Holy Scripture. Of course, At first, I had a moment, I had the argument, because 1949, I was baptized in the Spirit. It was a mighty experience. It was heaven on earth. It was an atmosphere as we all would like to have it. And it will come. And then I was thinking by myself, if the baptism was false, how could God give me then the Holy Spirit? Because it is written, He gave the Holy Ghost to those who obeyed Him. But it is not written on those the baptism, which is of course a step of obedience, on those the baptism was administered in a wrong way. Many believers are saying as our Lord, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And they want to be baptized. And they don't know that the baptism they receive is not biblical. And here's the point. There is no international church history writing which would say that in the first centuries a triune baptism was administered. Really not. Only with the coming up of the Trinity doctrine came the triune baptism. And Trinity doctrine and triune baptism is not written one single time in the Bible. Where is the man who wants to come with this word here to the front, showing where one single time the word Trinity or triune God is written? He should come. And he should say, Mister, not like this, here it is. No, it is not here. It's only here. And nowhere else. There's really not a single act, be it prayer or baptism or the prayer for the sick, there's not a single act in all of the Old and New Testament which would have been done in the triune formula. I don't want to go into detail, but Satan was up to now hiding himself, decorated by scriptures, but now everything is exposed. Because look, without the scripture, no deception could take place. Everything must be decorated. And the second point is, without the Holy Scripture, the deception cannot be exposed. And therefore, we go from Matthew 28 to Mark 16 and to Luke 24 and to John 20. And then, with everything, what was said in the Great Commission, what the Risen One commanded, with this we go to the Book of Acts, to the foundation day of the New Testament Church. And this is the valid pattern. I want to meet that person who tells me, Peter, John, Paul, Philip, who they are, they were heretics or false teachers. This man may not come here, because then something happens. The heretics, the false teachers, were the men who came on the scene in the 3rd and 4th and the following centuries, who did not come with the Bible doctrine. In this book, we have not one single false doctrine. This is the doctrine of the apostles. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And at the beginning, they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. Acts 2, verse 42. And at the end, they must be brought back into this doctrine. Brothers and sisters, this is the coming out of the Babylonian confusion. The coming out can only take place there where it is revealed to us that God cannot say yes and amen to everything, but that His word must be valid for us. So, we don't have any choice. We must, we may preach what our brethren at the very beginning, the fathers of the faith, who experienced God personally, what they preached unto us, and what they taught unto us, and what they left unto us. And so we thank God that He has sent a prophet to correct everything, to restore all things. And here's the point. If someone thinks we don't need this correction, then he will also reject the ministry of the man sent from God. But if we understood, and if we received by faith, that it was the Lord God Himself who said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." And if this would not be written again in Matthew 17, 11, and Mark 9, verse 12, then I would say, go your way. May God be the judge. This I cannot do, because our Lord, in the New Testament, when Moses and Elijah came down on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were speaking with our Lord, and Peter said, "It is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for the Lord." And then came the answer, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." And then comes the question in verse 10, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And then comes the answer, "Verily I say unto you, Elijah shall first come and restore all things." That's how it is written in the Holy Scripture. And I want today that God grants us grace to give up the resistance and to agree with God, submitting ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He can have His way with all of us. And as written, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then the devil shall flee from us. The devil will not flee unless we humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God, under the word of God, coming back unto the original foundation. As long as we don't humble ourselves, the enemy will fool us around with pious statements, and we will not come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. And therefore, receive it. God, after the prophetic ministry, after the teaching and apostolic ministry, God restored the ministries so that the saints are established, that they be brought back into the divine order. This was not my wish. This was not your wish. This was the will of God as written in the Word of God. And all who are of God, may they hear God's words. May they receive it. And may they be baptized today, in case they have not yet been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God, may He grant grace that His word also today may not return void, but that it accomplishes for what He has sent it in our midst, in all of Europe, in all of Asia, in all of Africa, in all of the world. May God's word accomplish for what He has sent it for. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God, who visited His people so graciously. This is the day that the Lord has made for us. It is our day which He has made. Amen. Let us stand up and let us pray. Who has another chorus which we can sing? Or is Just As I Am still the best one? All right, let us sing it, Just As I Am. Brothers and sisters, just to show you the seriousness of the matter, I'm reading you something here of a very famous German TV evangelist. Thereby we learn that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in a concentrated act brought about the glorious deed of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was not the Father alone who did this, even though he could have done it alone. It was also the Holy Ghost, who of course could have also done it alone. But it was also the Son. And these three spoke the mighty word, death, where is thy sting? People are trying to justify what cannot be justified. And if we say here today that it is written that all the nations have drunk of this cup and have lost the orientation, then we don't use our own words for it, but the words of God from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 51, and then also of Revelation and of the epistles. Brothers and sisters, God has shaken heaven and earth. He has fulfilled his promise. He has sent us in this prophetic age the promised prophet, so that we receive and accept what he brought us by God's commission. So may we find grace in the sight of God, and may we recognize how well the Lord means with us. No explanation, but fulfillment. When our Lord said, "Into my name," then they did it like that. They baptized in his name. And then in Romans 6 verse 3, Paul says, looking back, we all who we have been baptized in Christ Jesus are being baptized into his death. Did you die with Christ? Are you buried with him? Then don't live your own eye anymore. If your own eye still lives, if you are still right, please keep it for yourselves until God comes to his right in you. The one is reached sooner, the other one later. But all who are of God will be warned by the Spirit of God, and they are being brought back to the Word, out of all what church fathers preached and put up as creeds, which then were made dogmas later on. Out from everything. O God, have thine own way with thy church, with the firstborn, with those who have the birthright, and they will hear the voice of the Lord. Did we already sing just the same time? We did already. Then we sing it again. Before we call upon the brothers and sisters who want to be baptized, we want to make use of the opportunity and not closing this service without having given the chance to everyone to touch the Lord, to be touched by Him, be it a withered hand, whatever it might be. Today, the Lord wants to confirm His word as being true in us. More than believing, we cannot do. Just believing. Therefore, our Lord says, believe and you will see the glory of God. That's why our Lord says, thy faith has helped thee. Time and again, faith. And He says, if you don't believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sin. Namely, in the sin of unbelief, which is followed by everything. Brothers and sisters, God has visited His people graciously. We don't need to wait 38 years until a water is troubled in some pool. We are looking on Him who hang on the cross, who according to Isaiah 53 was smitten and stricken. He who died on the cross, praying for His enemies, crying out, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, because the counsel of our God had to be fulfilled. As the sin came through one, so the justification and the redemption came also through one. As we are told in Romans 5 and in other places, brothers, receive it. Don't resist any longer. Believe with all your heart, as the scripture says, and the arm of God will be revealed, and God will confirm His word. How many have requests which we want to bring together to the Lord now? Just raise your hand. Yeah, of course. It could almost be that we all would raise our hands. Let us receive the word of God which we carry in our hearts. Let us receive it by faith for us. By His stripes we are healed. All the pain He took upon Himself. That's how it is written. That's how it happened. He was the man of grief and pain, despised, smitten, and stricken on the cross of Calvary. It happened for our sakes. We are redeemed. It happened for soul, spirit, and body. Because everything our Lord and Redeemer gave for us. Now we have salvation of the soul, deliverance of the spirit, healing of the body. Everything was given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the Son of God, for all sons and daughters of God. Through Him, the first fruit, the firstborn from the dead, we have the confirmation as the firstborn that we were crucified and buried with Him and rose together with Him unto a new life. We are receiving the admonition, put off the old man. This we want to do, because God gives us the grace to do it until we are fully renewed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord at His return. That's how it is written. That's how it will be. Receive it now. Let us together pray and let us together believe. Faithful Lord Jesus, we thank Thee together at this place with all who are hearing Your word now all over the earth. We are joined with them in the faith. We are gathered in Your name under the precious blood of the Lamb. And we believe all the promises which You are making true now. Salvation, deliverance and healing. Beloved Lord, may it be manifested now that You are in our midst. Confirming Your word. Confirming it as true. As at the beginning, so also at the end. Increase our faith. Dear Lord, I thank Thee. It is finished. It has happened. We are saved. We are delivered. We are healed. Praised and blessed be the Lord our God, now and forever.
Hallelujah. Und alles Volk sagt Halleluja.
All the people said Halleluja. Halleluja.
Preis und Ehre sei dem Herrn.
Praise, honor and glory be unto the Lord, our God.
Wie viele sind heute hier?
How many are here today who want to be baptized? Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
du sagst 7.
8. Precious brothers and sisters, this is grace. Time and again the Lord is adding. And then Acts 2 verse 41 comes to fulfillment. They who received gladly His word were baptized. It belongs together. Hearing the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to the believing follows the baptism. I told it to you before. In Chile, I experienced it that of all of this group, of all the fellowship, 176 people received what was preached to them. Every single one of them I baptized. In my altogether 4 trips, 3 times in Chile, and one time a couple came up to Lima, Peru, before the first baptism took place in Chile. That one couple traveled 400 kilometers on the other side of Santiago. They traveled 3 days in the bus from country to country to be sure that they get baptized biblically. This is grace with God. This is grace. And then there were the 3 baptisms in which the rest were baptized. We are just glad. You two, I will mention you by name now, Brother Walter and Sister Mathilde. We know each other from the 50s. And so we are just so glad, Sister Schreiber, Brother Schreiber, who we are members on one body. My beloved brother, God bless you. God bless all. Also our sister, God bless all. Blessed be the Lord. Do you feel? One doesn't want to stop. The presence of God is filling this building. God is really present. One can feel it. Brother Rus, you will call to the front, and then you will pray again for those who want to be baptized. We sing a chorus, and then the brothers and sisters are coming to the front. Those who want to be baptized are coming to the front.
Trust in Herrn und zweifle nicht, er ist ein Freund zum Trost. Dein teures Auge wacht für dich.